Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains August 15th through the 18th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
How's it, everybody? Welcome back for another episode. It's me, Nick, as always, and Ronnie is back from Ireland, Belinda having stood in for him last week. Thanks very much for that, Belinda. It was lacquer having you. Now I've got to sit here with this biased moron's opinions for the whole episode.
All right, Paul, give me a chance. You thank Belinda, but I'd like to take this opportunity to not thank her because I listened to the podcast and at no point did I feel that she reprimanded you with your ridiculous comments. She agreed with you far too often.
Two wise people.
I believe she... No. She needed to help you right because you were making a lot of errors and you were saying the wrong things, and she agreed with you.
Yeah, Ronnie, clearly we missed you a lot last week. I know I missed you because I had to wait a whole extra week before I get to chirp you about your position in Fantasy League.
Okay. Listen, we're just picking and choosing the tournament. The one tournament where you're beating me and forgetting about these six others where I'm beating you.
The only reason I'm choosing it is because it's the only one that's finished. The other ones can still go either way.
You know, I don't actually know what to say, but fine, let's move on.
Yeah, well, that's okay. As everyone saw, you were at the RDS Arena for the Stormers versus Leinster game, but you were in Ireland for a whole week. How was your trip, Ronnie?
Expensive. Very, very expensive. Oh, I have to say that Guinness in Ireland is top quality. It's almost like they manufacture it there. It's ridiculous. It's unbelievable. I've had Guinness in South Africa and other places, and never before in the home of Guinness, and it was amazing. And I had a beef and Guinness pie, which was unbelievable, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, and one of our good friends also lives over there in Ireland, and I know she listens to the pod. So, Bern, if you're listening, thanks for tuning in. You got to visit her a little bit. And for those that don't know, Bern was a massive part in getting the podcast started, actually. You know, she was here when the idea was...
She almost punched me in the face. The topic did come up and I was like, no, Bern, you know, you had about a 1% influence and she almost punched me in the face.
I wish you had. I really do. But yeah, any cool stories from Ireland? What did you get up to while you were there? Or were you just that boring old fart in your room like we know you are?
No, there were some things that happened. I suppose you're alluding to my Uber Eats situation, is that right?
I am indeed. I think the listeners deserve that story.
You want to hear it again?
I do.
So, yeah, obviously we stayed a little bit out in the sticks, out in the bush, if you could say, and there's only one pub close by, and at one point I was just fed up with the menu. I'd worked my way through the menu and back again, and I thought, you know what? Just want to get some Uber Eats. Let's just see what's around. And I got this nice local Irish restaurant to make me a meal and send it over to the hotel. And I put the address in for the hotel and, you know, everything looks good. And at one point I get a phone call and it's from a gentleman who's perhaps not, his first language is perhaps not English. And he's like, I'm outside the hotel. I'm like, smile, my friend. And it starts to rain, but it's this typical Irish cold weather. Rain, it's not like South African warm weather, warm water rain. It's starting to wet my socks and my feet are starting to sting inside the shoes. And I'm like, listen, my friend, I don't know, I'm outside the hotel. And where are you? He's like, I'm at the City West Hotel. And I'm like, No, I am at the Address City West Hotel. Now, that's the key here, because the hotel was called the Address City West Hotel. No comma, no nothing. In the hotel's name is the Address. And I'm like, yes, the Address. And he's like, yes, the Address. I'm like, no, hang on. Let me Address City West Hotel. He's like, yes, I'm at the Address at the City West Hotel. I'm like, no, stop putting an and between the Address and City West Hotel, the Address City West Hotel. And that went back and forth. And he eventually got that. I said, listen, man, I'm really sorry that the hotel is such a rubbish name, but that's where I stayed, the Address City West Hotel, not the City West Hotel. Yeah, 700 Rand Uber Eats order later when it arrived cold and wet. And I wasn't happy, but should have just gone to the pub.
$700. I hope that was a 3-course meal there and a Guinness.
You know, well, Ireland is so unbelievably expensive. It's just like, you know, I had a small thing and it wasn't even that much, but it's just unbelievable the prices when you travel out of South Africa.
Yeah, it's true. And exchange rate doesn't help. But at least you got a week off from load shedding. So that was lucky, hey?
Yeah, and then I arrived today. It was my first day back, and we've obviously not had electricity for like 8 hours of today, which outside of load shedding. And I've got load shedding coming up in an hour and 10 minutes. So, painful. See,
we just had to give you catch-up load shedding. It's only fair.
Yeah, the backlog of load shedding, you're right.
But yeah, Ronnie, so let's take a dive into the URC action. It was quite a busy weekend, bit of a rough weekend to be a South African fan as well, I would say. We'll start off. Ulster getting a 32-23 victory over the Bulls. The Bulls suffering their third straight defeat in the URC. Struggling there in Pretoria. I mean, Ulster getting their first try in 2.5 minutes.
Just a question, was this game played in Pretoria? Sorry, I missed a lot of the rugby, so you're going to have to walk me through some of these things.
No, the game was played at Kingspan Stadium, at Ulster's home stadium.
Right, well, look, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. They were traveling away from home, and it's not easy coming from our summer going into their winter. And I can tell you, for one, Ireland has some difficult weather to contend with. So it's a little bit disappointing. I obviously watched a bit of the highlights and some contentious issues coming out of there.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, there was a brilliant try when we saw Kanan Moody and Kirtley Aronso combining. They scored a humdinger there. But it was so sad to see Ulster dominating the traditional Bulls strengths. Mm. Two tries from the driving maul, a third try coming directly through the forwards. And those are things you normally see the Bulls doing well in. You know, they lost their physicality there. And even their line speed and their aggressive defense that we've come to know from this Bulls side seems to be missing at the moment.
Yeah, look, it's a long season and traveling and all of that. There's that point of view. But we noted it with the Sharks a couple of weeks ago where they were being mauled and scrummed. And, you know, the forward dominant game from the opposition dominated ours. And perhaps it's a case of, well, the South African teams have been introduced to the URC and the URC are learning to use our strengths against us because we haven't been used to that.
Look, that's also definitely possible. You make a good point there. But I think as a South African, that's one of the hardest things to swallow when you see a pack going back on the driving maul. Rassie must be screaming at the TV in his boxes. And then we have Munster, who went down at home 26-38 to Glasgow. That was a bit of a surprise for me. I thought Munster were going to take that one.
Yeah. Look, a surprise, of course. But we're happy to see the Scottish teams pull out a strong performance. We've said it. We want them to do well. You know, the traditional strong teams. It's nice to see them get a bit of competition. But Munster haven't been doing too well over the last month or two or three. They've had a couple of dips in performances and pulled it back here and there. And it's obviously upset our position on the log as Sharks and Bulls fans, because, you know, we weren't able to capitalize on our positions that Glasgow have.
For sure. And then we take a hop over the Sharks going down 32-20 to Scarlet. The number 32 really played a trend in South African rugby this weekend as well. There was 32 in the Ulster Bulls game, as the Sharks game and the Lions game. But the Sharks in that one, you know, it was an exciting lineup. We saw all the Springboks return there. I mean, Ox, Bongi, Thomas Tatoy, Irvin, Sia, Herschel, Mapimpi. I mean, it was endless Springboks in that lineup and not managing to get the result they were after.
Just a question, you mentioned Herschel.
Jaden.
You see, right, so this is a typical case of where I would have expected Belinda to say, no, Nick, you're talking rubbish because you actually know nothing.
Fair enough. I'll give you that one, Ronnie. 1 point to you. Well done. I don't know. That game for me was very, very frustrating to see. You know, you just said we previously spoke about the Sharks struggling in the mall, but this is now where the Sharks were strong. We saw an opening try from Siakalisi off the back of a driving maul. We saw another one for Bongi Mbonambi off a driving maul. But the Sharks are just a disjointed side at the moment. The defense is completely haphazard. No one is in line. The timing is shocking. You've got Ox shooting out, shooting out, and no one seems to be gelling at the moment.
Well, look, the Springboks have been out of rugby for some time now, for a couple of weeks. So, you know, could we attribute it to that, to a bit of rustiness? Is this a case of poor coaching? I don't think it's a case of poor coaching. I think it's perhaps the wrong coach for the right job, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I thought about it, you know, if it was the rustiness of the players, but I think you would expect these guys to pull it through and to get a win against the Scarlets. That being said, the Scarlets are 9 wins off their last 11 games, so they do have a bit of momentum on their side. But I think it's a coaching problem.
So you reckon with old John Plumtree, things could change?
I definitely think it's a big necessity for John Plumtree to come in now and to sort this out. I think for all Powell's credentials, I don't think he has the credentials to earn the buy-in of the squad entirely. So I think that's where the change needs to come. And it's actually silly for me that a union like the Sharks didn't fix the coaching before purchasing all these players.
Look, I think, and we've spoken about this a number of times, we have all the great names on paper, but as the Sharks team, we just seem very dysfunctional. I think Neil Powell will be great in the role of director of rugby, and he's obviously there as an interim capacity, you know, until we get a new coach. And I just think that bringing old Plumtree back, from the other side of the world, back to what I think is his home, just not. But I think it's his home. It's going to do the Sharks a world of glory.
It's definitely necessary, because what's going on there at the moment is certainly not working. And I mean, you can compare the Sharks' work rate and hunger for victory here to the Scarlets. I mean, the tackle on Takia Abrahams, right in the corner at the end of the game showed their fighting spirit, and they were just not going to lie down and give any points away if they could help it. Kerwin Bosch, we need to have a chat about him, Ronnie. He was called out in our boys' group a little bit over the weekend, and then I rewatched the game, and I must agree, he's pathetic on defense.
I think pathetic's a bit of a harsh word, but I hear what you're saying. Look, when you need a strong 10, really, to sort of command and marshal your troops at the back, I think he's definitely, we've said it before, and I can't exactly remember my words, but I think it's a confidence issue. I think the media's not helping. I think he reads articles about people and not happy with his performance, and he takes a bit of a knock, but his confidence seems to be nowhere, because he can show, you know, here and there, a bit of brilliance, and it's fantastic, and his step is fantastic, and he's got this quite a big boot for a small guy. It just seems that he can't string together enough pieces of great play.
Yeah, he's definitely struggling, and I actually think it's time we see Buta Chamberlain back in that 10 jersey. He's been performing very well at 15, and I think, you know, we need someone to take that 10 jersey and move it forward. But Ronnie, then we go over Connacht getting a 41-26 win over Edinburgh at home. Good win for them. They'll be happy with that as they fight for their place on the log. Then over to Benetton. They went down to the Lions at home, 28 and another 32 points for the Lions. Very, very well done to the Lions. And it's the reverse of the Bulls. They're now on a 3-game win streak in the URC.
Yeah, great. Honestly, fantastic to see the Lions stepping it up a bit, putting a bit of consistency on paper, and it's great to see. And I'm very proud of the Lions. I didn't think that they would do it. I thought, you know, Benetton's got this in the bag, but bloody well done to the Lions. I'm so proud of them.
But it also goes back to something we spoke about, of the Lions not being able to string two full halves together. Because you saw Benetton in this game, 2 tries opening up the score sheet before the Lions side seemed to have woken up a bit. But then there was an immense increase in their physicality. They really, you know, got in there. Their tries were all from bounces. Every single try the Lions scored, there was at least one bounce in the lead up to it, which I thought was quite impressive. I mean, they scored 2 tries in 2 minutes.
Yeah, and that's what you need. I know when we play Xbox a lot and you hit back with a try, and then shortly after that, you hit back with another one, you do the old air punch, ba-ba, you know, and then that doesn't do it justice. I saw you do a bit of a wiggle there, but that's your style, right? So it's very powerful when you can hit back twice very in quick succession.
Yeah, and that's a massive way to change the momentum of a game. So well done, Lions. I've got a little bit more praise for you just now when Ronnie does the log. Then Osprey is getting a 37-18 win over Dragons at Swansea Stadium. I thought in that game, you know, Ross Moriarty's yellow card really robbed the Dragons of their momentum, and they never managed to get back into the game after that.
Yeah, a little bit unfortunate, but, you know, a good showing by Ospreys. You know, bloody well done. They've got quite a number of aged players there. Good showing for them. You know, this is the business end or the latter end of the ERC. You would have hoped if you were an Ospreys fan, they did a better showing in the first half of the season.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Then over to the 1-2 clash of the weekend, Leinster versus Stormers, ending as a 22-all draw. Interesting for me because everyone touted it as the 1-2 clash, but in reality, this was basically like Leinster under 19. It was very mixed.
Well, you say that. We got out of the Uber on the way to the game and we're a little bit lost to try and get to the stadium. It's not a big stadium, so it's not very noticeable.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Well, and I asked one of the gentlemen walking by in a Leinster beanie. He said, "Yeah, sir, can you point us in the right direction?" He said, "That way, turn left. Good luck to you, gentlemen. But I don't think you need it since you're playing our under 15 team." And he wasn't the only one to say that. A little short while down, we met another Leinster fan who also said under 15 team. So really something went around the media there that, you know, they saw it as an under 15 team taking on the Stormers.
Yeah, and I think you can actually see it from the attitude of the Leinster side as well. At full time, it's 22-22. And they smack that ball out and celebrate that it's the end of the game. I mean, that's 16 played, 15-1 with one draw. They'll be happy with that. They come out of that game 2 points, a little bit higher on the log.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people on social media also said it's a little bit unfair that last couple of games in the URC Leinster go to travel. They've had more home games, so they've done a little bit better. And, you know, these games have now, I mean, that now that they've secured the top spot, they don't need to worry about their overseas leg. And my comment to that was, well, they had to win 15 first and obviously draw this one to get to the top of the log, unreachable at the top of the log. So they did exceptionally well this season. But, you know, whether it's an A string or a B string Leinster side, we know it's going to be difficult. We saw it last year in the URC. And, you know, Leinster just seemed to be so strong, so dominant that whatever team they put on there, it's going to be a good showing for them.
Yeah, and you have to give them even more credit because not only are they dominating in the URC, but they've done exactly the same in the Heineken Cup. So they're putting in strong performances and they've definitely earned their top spot. There's no doubting that at all.
Look, and I know we're hammering on a bit much about this game, but I have to also add something. You know, a lot of people said that there was a poor kicking performance. Both sides aimless kicking down the middle of the field. But I have to say the conditions were very, very difficult for both the Stormers as well as Leinster. I sat directly behind the posts on the one side and I noted the ball coming down, kicked down the middle of the field, coming down 10 meters to my right and ultimately it landed 10 meters to my left. And it was a hellishly difficult, you know, set of conditions to be playing in. So well done to both Leinster for picking it up in the second half and well done to the Stormers for picking it up in the first half and then scoring the equalizer at the end.
Yeah, I mean, you even sent that video through, which we popped up on Punted, of the post shaking like that with the wind. So definitely tough conditions. But I thought a bit silly from the Stormers. They took their foot off the pedal. They were leading 17-0 at 39 minutes. You know, Leinster getting a try just before halftime. But I've also seen a lot of people calling Marnie Lubbock out. And I'm going to shut them all down very quickly because let's look back to something Russie said to the Springbok boys. It's not about doing five attempts and making one mistake. It's about that work rate, putting in so many good ones that a couple of bad ones fall away. Marnie Lubbock's work rate on that field is unbelievable. Look at the first try the Stormers scored. Loose ball, pounced on by him. He runs it in, offloads to Hartzenberg. Look how many times the ball's kicked through into a compromising position for the Stormers, and he's the one there to pick it up and clean it up. And yes, he does make some mistakes, but I feel like what he pulls off on that field is far more valuable than what they lose from the mistakes that he makes. Even that chip kick through try for Hartsenburg was another one.
Look, I'm a big fan of Old Libok. I think he's won me over in over the last season. After he left the Sharks, I didn't think he was all that when he was with the Sharks and with the Bulls. I thought he's really done well with the Stormers, and I agree. A lot of people are criticizing him, and I can see the argument, sure, but at least he's trying. He's putting in a lot of effort, a lot more than other fly halves in the country. And I think he's just going to find, he's going to use the rest of this year to find himself and potentially on the bench position for fly half, I think, for the Springboks.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to see that. And then just a last comment from me watching the game. There was a player that quite excited me from the Leinster side, and that was flanker Scott Penny. I thought he's a Josh van der Vleer 2.0 in the making. He's very, very good, very young player. So he's someone I'd definitely like to keep an eye on next year as well in the URC.
Yeah.
Then Ronnie, to wrap up the URC action, Zebra going down at home 30-34 to Cardiff. Cardiff will be happy with that one. And Zebra quite disappointed with a home loss.
Look, it's a high-scoring game, both sides. It's quite typical of the URC of late. Teams seem to be prioritizing attack over defense. And, you know, to put 30 points on the board is a good showing. But to then let 34 points through is a little bit unfortunate. So hard luck to Zebra. Honestly, I just hope that they can pick themselves up and do better in future competitions. Because, you know, we want to see that. We want to see that from the Italians. Their national team's done a little bit better over recent months and weeks. So we want to see that from the provincial sides as well.
Yeah, 100% would like to see those results across the board. Then Ronnie, do you have the URC log for us? Just a bit of an update there.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got the URC log. And look, we're going to start off at the bottom like I typically do, like to do it that way. And I want to make a comment. You know, I've said this many times that the Sharks are the world's most average team and shows on the log. We're 8th out of 16. So the exact middle point would be between 8th and 9th. And yeah, look, the Sharks, come on, guys, you guys need to step it up. So Sharks being on 41, the Bulls just above them on 43. Then we've got Connacht, 44 points, Munster, 48 points. And then your top four, this is nice to see a Scottish team there, Glasgow Warriors on 54. So that's quite the jump from 5th to 4th. And then top three, Ulster on 59, Stormers on 61, and Leinster, very far out in the lead, 74 points. So I don't think that they can be caught. That's my understanding. Believe the math to be true. So Leinster will be securing top spot as it stands.
Yeah, it's crazy how far Leinster is ahead. I mean, if they're more than 10 points clear, then they can't be caught in the competition now, sort of guaranteeing themselves a home final should they make it that far. But then we take a look, Ronnie. I just want to say there's two games left in the competition for every side. The Sharks are left to face Benetton and Munster. The Bulls will be facing Zebra and Leinster. Stormers have Munster and Benetton, and the Lions have Leinster and Zebra. So some tough games to come for some of the sides. I think Sharks probably have the easiest run in the last two games, but they certainly need it if they want to retain that playoff berth. And then I did say I would be giving the Lions some credit here. So I took a look at that log, and you know that there's only each side has won the same amount of games, Bulls, Lions, Sharks, 8 games each, right? And then you take a look at the points difference. The Bulls are on plus 43, the Sharks are on plus 41, and the Lions are on plus 38. That means there's technically one try that separates the quality of the Lions from the Bulls.
Well, my friend, I think you might need to relook at the points difference there, but I think it's by and large what I've got on the log here. It's not much separating, you're right. So Sharks are very lucky to be in the top half. It's, you know, we just, as Sharks supporters, we expect to see them a little bit higher. And the Lions are close, but no cigar.
Yeah. So everyone giving the Lions shit, they are pretty equal to the Bulls and the Sharks. That being said, Ronnie, I just want to take a quick second to talk about the Six Nations. Can you tell us all where you finished in Super Brew? And honestly,
no, I can't. I can't tell you. I have to open up Super Brew in order to check that.
Well, while we give you a minute, guys, we had 931 players in the pool. Nice big pool. Thanks for everyone for joining us. Yeah, I came 169th, so I didn't manage to crack the top 100.
Of course you didn't. Well, it's taken me a while to open this up, but tell me, do you know where I finished on the log?
I do.
Do you want to tell us?
No, I'm waiting to see whether or not you're honest. I think the listeners deserve that too.
Well, I'm struggling to find the bloody log here.
And knowing you, you're going to say 168, one position above me.
I seem to be experiencing some technical difficulties with opening up, you know.
Super brief.
You know, it's just the run of the mill. It doesn't seem to be opening.
A PEBCAC error.
PEBCAC error? Who taught you that?
Well, the ID10T error.
Oh, wow, man.
Yeah, I know you got you IT kids and your tricks, eh?
All right, so I finished 4th out of 13.
Oh, yeah. Not in the boys' pool, in the punted pool.
All right, so I finished 137th.
Oh, guck, man.
Well, look, I'm going to show you this right now while we're being recorded. I would like to show you this. 137th. I'm going to send it to you on WhatsApp right now.
As all our listeners can see, Ronnie's definitely not telling the truth, but that's okay. Just ending on the Six Nations note, did you see the video, Ronnie? After two nights on the piss, the Irish boys celebrating their Grand Slam win.
Yes.
Gary Ringrose didn't want to come out, so he went to hide at his parents' house. And the whole squad turned up there to go and get the bugger.
Yeah, I did see that. So that's a good bit of banter, a good little bit of teammateship.
Yep, that definitely was. So, Ronnie, let's then take a look at the Heineken Cup. The Heineken Cup is coming up. It's going to be...
Look, I want to pump the brakes there. Can you open your WhatsApp, please?
I opened my WhatsApp, 173rd.
137, you bloody idiot.
Sure, Ronnie, let's pretend that that's true.
Do you also know that your friend Rogan finished 4th in the...
Really? That's impressive.
So shout out to old Rogan.
Your lack of rogues. You must come around for a bri again. We haven't seen you in a long time. And then, Ronnie, Heineken Cup time. So in the Heineken Cup, it's the last 16 now, as well as in the Challenge Cup. The last 16 is made up of 8 previous winners of the Heineken Cup. So some tough competition there. Some really good games coming up. So we've got Tigers facing Edinburgh. I think Tigers should take that one, hey?
Yeah, I think so too. That's where I'm leaning. Although, you know, with these games, anything could happen.
And then we've got Sharks hosting Munster. It's an interesting one because the Sharks will also play Munster in the URC a week later.
So a bit of practice.
Bit of practice, yeah. That's going to be a tough fixture. Hopefully the Sharks can pull that one home, though. They really have focused their intentions on the Heineken Cup. What do you think, Ronnie?
Yeah, look, we hope that the Sharks can pull this off. They seem to have done really well in the Champions Cup, better than their performance in the URC. So we hope that the trend continues because, you know, the Champion Cup is going to mean a lot. It's just unfortunate we will probably end up, if the Sharks do win, who our matchups will be in the next round.
Yeah, so then we also see Stormers hosting Quins. I think that's my favorite game of the weekend. It's going to be epic to see Damian Willemse and Marcus Smith and all these boys out on the pitch. It's going to be so like a Joe Marler.
Yeah, that's going to be very exciting to see.
Then you've got La Rochelle, last year's champions. They hosting Gloucester. Also going to be a good game. I think La Rochelle should take that one.
Yep, for sure. So we expect La Rochelle. Let's just put it clear here. We expect them to take it, but anything can happen in these knockout stages.
Yep, for sure. So we'll have to see what happens there. Leinster in an all-Irish affair are hosting Ulster. That's going to be a very tough one. But if the Leinster boys have their Six Nations squad back, I think they're going to take that one.
Fairly straightforward, right?
Yeah. Then you've got Exeter Chiefs. They're hosting Montpellier. Kobus Reinach will be hoping to get some intercept tries there and get Montpellier away. I'm going to back them for the win.
Sure, I agree with you.
Yeah, see, look at this. You should go to Ireland more often.
Maybe it's because I didn't do my prep for this exact agenda point, so I've got no choice but to agree.
Saracens versus Ospreys. Saracens are now without the services of Owen Farrell. That's going to be a tough fixture, but at home you would back Saracens to take that one, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
And then the Bulls, they are in France to face Toulouse. That's a very, very tough game. And with the way the Bulls have been playing, I'm going to be backing Toulouse for a win, although I would love to see a South African side take it.
Right. So obviously we would love to see the Bulls take the win, and I agree with you. But like I was alluding to earlier, if the Bulls win and the Sharks win, it'll be a Bulls v Sharks in the quarters.
Yep. And that's the only way that we can get a home quarterfinal is if it's both South African teams. Otherwise, we've agreed to play away from home.
Right. So, I was thinking of that when we got to this topic, right? Unfortunately, the rules will say that unless it's two South African teams, we will be playing the quarterfinal up north.
That's correct. So out of those four, Toulouse, Bulls, Sharks, and Munster, they'll make up one quarterfinal. And then should the Stormers win their playoff game against the Harlequins, they are set to face either Exeter Chiefs Montpellier in the quarterfinal. So those are the setups there. Then just quickly to take a look at the Champions Cup or the Challenge Cup, if you prefer. Toulon are playing host to Cheetahs. Cheetahs unfortunately set off from Bloemfontein today without Frans Steyn on the plane. He took a knock to the knee and then he aggravated it during kicking practice. And the Lions will be hosting Racing Metro in Ellis Park.
Well, Emirates lost beat Racing Metro or have beaten Racing 92 already this season. So, yeah, possibly they can pull off a win there.
Yeah, we're backing you, Lions. Three on the trot in the URC. You can definitely get a win here with a bit of momentum on your side. And they will then face potential playoff games. If the Cheetahs are to win, they face a potential playoff against either of Stade Français or Lyon. And the Lions, should they win theirs, their opponents in the quarterfinals will be either of Glasgow Warriors or the Dragons. So familiar opponents for them if they get through to that stage. But Ronnie, all said, cracker weekend of rugby. Some massive fixtures coming there. But my highlight game, definitely the Quins versus Stormers down in Cape Town.
Absolutely. No, look, that's going to be tight. But I think I'm more interested in what's going to happen with the Sharks because I want to see a win there. I want to see them do well. So that's going to be my preferred game.
Yep, we're going to have to keep an eye on that one. Then just a quick look at some Super Rugby results. The Chiefs, they remain undefeated this season, having quite a good one with a 24-14 win over the Waratahs. Crusaders, they got a win against the Brumbies, which are the top Australian side at the moment, 35-17 victory there. Highlanders, massive 57-24 win over the Drua. And then lastly, and a big one, Ronnie, 59-0, the Canes beat Moana Pacifica.
Look, it's a little bit unfortunate, but well done to the Hurricanes, right? So we want to see the Pacific teams do a little bit better. And they have. They've got a couple of wins under their belt in recent weeks. But look, well done to the Hurricanes. They just took it up to a whole new level.
Yep, the Hurricanes did very well. You never like to see a whitewash on the scoreboard. But that's unfortunately the way the game goes sometimes, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this is a good moment to mentioned quite a shocking announcement in World Rugby today. Stuart Hogg coming out and saying he's going to retire after the World Cup. Hoggy got his 100th now in the Six Nations, and he's only 30 years old.
Well, I know you say that a bit shocking, but to me, I feel like Hoggy's been there for decades now. You know, he's put up a good show because week in, week out, when the Scottish teams play, we always talk about him. Right? And he's been there for a long time.
And he's younger than the both of us, Ronnie.
He's younger than you. 22 at heart.
That's definitely not true. You're definitely older at heart than you are in age. But yeah, Hoggy, sad that you're going to be stepping away from the game. I thought we were going to get another Lions tour out of you. But yeah, already a great of the game and only at the age of 30.
Well, I'll probably give him a call after this podcast and talk a bit of shit with him.
You know, something we didn't mention when we spoke about the Bulls game was the Bismarck Duplessis yellow card. That was a bit of a rough card. I definitely think he was wrapping his arms. We've seen him be very unlucky in the past with that red card he was given after the hit on Dan Carter. It was a shocking call. But Jake White actually coming out now and saying, you know, there's diving in the game. It's spoiling the game a little bit. Is he correct in that?
Firstly, I want to say that I just want to confirm something. It was because they said he wasn't wrapping his arm, right?
Correct.
Well, I looked at that and I interpreted it a little bit differently. I interpreted it as him making contact with the tackler, right? As you would in a ruck situation, which it wasn't yet. You know, nobody had gone to ground yet. And to me, it was, you know, if it wasn't for him not wrapping his arm, allegedly, I thought it was a case of him taking out a player without the ball. That's the way that I saw it. So I think maybe if it was penalized for the one side, he was going to be penalized for the other side.
A penalty at most, or would you say it should have been a yellow card?
No, look, I think it's a penalty at most. And what Jake White obviously said about, you know, players often milking it. We have seen on YouTube where Nigel Owens said, if you want to dive like that, you know, you come back here in 2 weeks and play a football match, soccer for our South African and American friends. But it has been it. And Brian Abana did it. There's a lot of players that are doing it. If you're going to milk it and put your team in a better position, well, that happens. We often refer to it as gamesmanship, right? But it does take away a little bit from the spirit of the game, which is unfortunate. But that's what we're seeing these days. There's a lot on the line. So players are going to do what they do. to get their team a step ahead.
Yeah, especially if you're seeing cards have such a big impact on the game, you know, and they think they can earn a card by acting or at the very least get the TMO to take a second look at something. It's going to creep into the game more and more until it reaches a point where you're starting to card players for diving. And that's not something I want to see come into our game.
Well, I've seen cases of where a player that milks it, get penalized, you know, not carded, but I have seen things overturned for, what, I don't know, unsportsmanlike contacts or whatever the case is. But it's probably what needs to happen more. They probably need to drive that a bit more and enforce that. But it's difficult, though. It is difficult because sometimes you fall in a certain way. It might look like you're milking it a bit. But yeah, look, we don't want to see that sort of thing. We don't want to see players milking it, and it's unfortunate.
Well, I think they actually just need to employ the Owen Farrell tactic. I don't know if you saw it in the last Six Nations game, but Belinda and I did have a little laugh about it on the podcast. So Johnny Sexton took a knock and he's lying down, holding his head, trying to get the ref to look at it. And Owen Farrell walks right up. He's like, "Ref, he's hurt his head. He needs to go off for a ding-dong test."
Brilliant.
I thought that was excellent from Owen. That was priceless. So, you know, maybe meet it with a smarter tactic. Chess, not checkers.
Chess, not checkers.
And then, Ronnie, in light of what we've seen go on just this weekend alone, I thought we could have a little bit of a chat about the World Cup that's coming up. Everyone's picking their squads and stuff, which I think is a little bit premature. But I just wanted to chat about injuries and depth a little bit. So the point I'm coming at it from is we've seen Cheslin Kolbe go down injured this weekend. Johnny Sexton's ruled out for the remainder of the domestic season. You've got Owen Farrell out with an ankle injury. These are all big name players for their sides. And then you see, on the other hand, Andre Pollard come back from injury and he's absolutely firing. So in a World Cup cycle, injuries are there and injuries are going to happen. But, you know, what do you make of the players that we're seeing go down at the moment?
Look, like you say, it's going to happen. It's a contact sport, right? That's why we love rugby so much. It's physical and injuries happen. It's part and parcel of what's happening. I think the teams have good conditioning coaches in the background. They're doing what they can to make it work, but it's long seasons. It's a lot of rugby that guys are playing, and it's going to be difficult. You're going to see these things sort of happen. Specifically with Kolbe, I saw that. I was a little bit concerned because obviously I'd love to see him in the World Cup, but I think we've got enough depth for this, particularly at with a wing position or back three position, maybe not so much at fullback. We've got Kane and Moody. We've got a couple of wingers that are performing really well. So specifically with Kolbe, I think Jock and the team at Springboks have done a good job of building some depth in anticipation of these sorts of things happening. And look, it's my understanding that we're also taking squad sizes of 33 to the World Cup, previously 31. So maybe two extra positions gonna go a long way.
Yeah, something you've said there is actually quite interesting, because I was having a chat with one of our followers on Instagram during the weekend. And he said, you know, some of these countries have one player that they really can't afford to lose. For example, Ireland cannot afford to lose Sexton. France cannot afford to lose DuPont. And he said to me, but when you look at the Springbok squad and you look at the All Black squad, you sort of realize that there's not really one player they cannot go without. And then he was like, yeah, you know, for South Africa, you could maybe say Eben Etzebeth or Lukanya. But even if we were to lose those players, it's not like the entire squad is dependent on them.
Well, you could argue, make the case for Owen Farrell as well. You know, in the games where he wasn't starting or playing, England also seemed to struggle. You know, that happened. So, but you're absolutely right. A lot of the teams in the world seem to be hinged around one or two players, like the Scots as well with Hodge and Russell. And yeah, I agree with you. Springboks seem to have built good depth. It's going to be difficult for the selectors to decide on a 33, I think. And look, there's still talk on the fly off, like who's our number one fly half? Is it Pollard? And if Pollard goes down, who's our backup, right? So that's maybe an area of concern for us. But I think generally speaking, we're in a good space.
Yeah, I mean, New Zealand, you could say, okay, New Zealand would really suffer if they were to lose someone like Ardie Sevea, but they still have so much depth that they could cover it. They could survive something like that. But it would be hard to see France going all the way in a World Cup without Bond, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. He's just such a critical player for them. But look, the Bond's also built like a brick shit out, so he's tough. He's got a thick neck and I think he'll be fine. But you're right, a lot of teams seem to be hinged around one or two specific players.
Yeah, and just from a South African perspective, I've actually seen quite a number of our players really starting to come into some form. Andre Pollard is an example of that. He's having a cracker for the Tigers. And then if you look over, Peter Steftatoy, Kwaka Smith, Luit Diaga, they're all having good seasons, picking up good momentum in Japan. Kobus Reinach, stellar for Montpellier. So hopefully these guys will carry this into the Springbok squad for the Rugby Championship and all the way through to the World Cup.
Absolutely.
And then Ronnie, just to end off the episode, we've got our fan topic of the week. This time, Mike Green. Actually, this is a week old topic. I didn't put it on the pod last week. I thought I'd wait for you. But he asked us, you know, South Africa has an incredible depth of players, but they lack coaches and match officials. Why are they getting this so wrong? It's also something he's 100% right about, match officials. We don't have many in the top tier at the moment.
We don't have many in the top tier. We've got the likes of Jaco Paper and the sorts. But I want to disagree with Mike Green. Firstly, I wonder if, you know, Michael Green from school, I wonder if it's the same guy. Maybe, maybe not. But look, I want to disagree with Michael here. I don't think it's a case of us having a lack of quality coaches and match officials. I think we, especially with coaches, it's a big export of ours. We've got great South African coaches all around the world, you know, coaching Munster with the Irish, with the French, with the, I mean, the Italians, you know, we've got great coaches, Gary Gold over in the USA. We've got great coaches. And it just seems to be the structure that links our coaching to our players where I think we need a bit of attention. And then with respect to the match officials, look, we've had some iconic referees over the years, Mark Lawrence and Jonathan Kaplan. And now we've got old Jaco Paper, which, you know, I think Jaco Paper is a great referee, but other people in the world don't think so. I think, you know, others like, you know, Wayne Barnes, whereas I'm maybe not a big fan of old Wayne Barnes, but I think we've got quality coaches as well as match officials, but yeah, maybe not everyone sees it that way.
Yeah, I think in the coaching aspect, you hit the nail on the head there. It's not such a coaching depth problem, but more of a coaching retention problem. You know, we've got Ackerman overseas, Van Kraan, Franco Smith, Gary Gold, all of these guys coaching elsewhere. And I mean, those are coaches you could put at the helm of any one of our domestic franchises and get quite good results under. Yeah, Ronnie, I think that answers Mike's question. Refereeing match officials, we are struggling to put some into the top level. And someone I'm missing is Rasta Rashivenga. When have you last seen that guy in charge of a match?
Yeah, look, so he was left out of the end of 2022. There was an article that he was left out of our official match panels. He's still a youngster. He obviously was big on the sevens circuit. And yeah, he has kind of dropped away. But look, it's also worth noting that we have quite a few women that have stepped up in sort of top tier refereeing panel of ours, and I think that's good for the future of the sport. I mean, it's not just men. I noted a couple of times in this podcast, I kept saying the guys are tired and the guys this, but the reality is it's not guys, it's guys and girls. So I think we're a little bit ahead in that space, and I think in the next couple of years we'll see a strong showing from our women referees, and you know, some of them are refereeing in the men's game at the moment, and it's good to see. And you can say whatever you want, whether you disagree or whatever. The reality is, it's the way that we're progressing and the way we're going forward. So good on South Africa, and sorry for stepping it up in that space.
Yeah, shout out there to Amy Barrett-Turan. I think she's leading the charge in that respect. And then we did have Carla on in one of our early episodes. So it's going to be great to see how her career progresses as well. But thanks, everyone. Shout for tuning in this week with me. I know you had to listen to Ronnie now for a good 40-plus minutes. But I did too, so not that sorry. Tune in next week. We'll catch you back here, bring you all the updates on the Heineken Cup. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and give us a follow on your preferred listening platform.
Cheers, everyone. You don't have to edit that part out. What I want is for you to admit right now what happened with the Super Brew, what really transpired. For all 18 of our listeners that made it this far, the diehard fans, I want them to know what really happened in the Super Brew log. So can we have it come out of your mouth, please? And this, I'm going to pay whoever edits this video to insert this part, because they have to.
Ronnie, I'll never admit it openly in public, but I'll admit it here. You beat me on Super Brew.
Beat you on Super Brew. You mean you beat me in our close friends group, but I did come 137th. And as it turns out, it was you earned 1.75 bonus points in our friends group that you didn't earn in the rugby content group, and that's why he beat me in the one and not the other. But the fact remains, Hugh was so cocky and telling everyone he came 169th, and I actually came 137th. So for all the all 18 of our diehard fans that made it this far, and even after the goodbye, you heard it here that Nicholas lost to Ronnie.
Yeah, this is definitely not going in the pod.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains August 15th through the 18th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.